Well, I guess it's up to you guys.
Good afternoon. The E12 Policy Education Conference Committee will convene. Welcome, everyone. We have 126 hours and 10 minutes to reach an agreement, and we will. We look forward to working together in that very important mission. We deeply respect the efforts that have gone into this by members at the table as well as the various stakeholders in the room. At this point, I'd like us to do introductions, and that'll be followed by some words from Representative Mariani, and then we'll proceed with a side-by-side presentation by staff on the articles, and then look at inclusion and some adoption of some of those amendments that would be deemed as non-controversial as we see it. I'm Chuck Whittier. I'm from North St. Paul. My district is 55 North St. Paul on Maplewood Oakton. And we'll start with Senator Saltzman.
And I'm Kathy Saltzman. I represent the Far East Metro with school districts in Stillwater, South Washington County, and North St. Paul, Oakton, Maplewood. I'm in my first term and my second conference committee.
Sandy Rummel, Senate District 53, which is just north of Senator Weaker's district, White Bear Lake, Shoreview, North Oaks, Lionel Lakes, pieces of Circle Pines and Lexington.
Jen Olson, Senate District 33, which is in western Hennepin County. All are parts of about 8 school districts out in that area. And I think I probably had the longest tenure here.
I'm Kevin Dahl, Senate District 25, and I've had the least tenure here, just elected in January. But my district runs Northfield, and then all the way to the Minnesota River, 169, and beyond a little bit.
We apologize, the Senate's still in session. We have to take a brief recess, and we'll continue. We're in a brief recess.
Give House members a moment to think about what they want to say. Oh, absolutely.
Sorry, I
didn't realize. We convene. Again, thank you for your patience. We'll continue the introductions.
I'm Jen Brutland. I'm the LA for the Education Policy, Senate Education Policy.
I'm Gretchen Toussaint, and Committee Administrator.
Anne Marie Butler Yunker, Senate Counsel. Shelby McQuay, Legislative Analyst.
Sorry, Mario, I don't go last.
Lisa looks like you're
Lisa?
I'm sorry, Lisa Larson, House Research.
Christina Gossett, Committee Administrator.
Celeste Marine, Committee Legislative Assistant.
Kathy Briner from Mankato.
Linda Slocum from Richfield and Bloomington.
Dean Erdahl, I represent all the 2 townships of Meeker County, 6 townships in western Wright County.
John Ward, I represent Brainerd, Baxter, and Nisswa, Crosby, Ironton area.
Brad Kelly, Matowski, Fellow Research.
Okay, we have some other staff persons that would like to introduce themselves. Mr. McHenry, or
Kevin McHenry for Senator Stone's office of the E12 Senate Committee.
Hey, Owen, Senate
Majority.
Others that okay.
We're also joined by Shannon Patrick, who is committee administrator for our E12 Finance Committee in the House, and a fine committee administrator she is. Senator, it's a privilege to co-chair this conference committee with you. We've been planning and wanting and scheming for this moment for months, and so here we are. We're ready to do good work. I've had the privilege of chairing the Minnesota House E12 Policy Committee this session for the first time. And it really is a privilege because we've got some terrific legislators serving on that committee in the House. You're seeing some of them here today. It was actually a little humbling, Senator, because I think the majority of my committee are either present or past educators. And so here I was, you know, pretending to know more than they do. And in fact, they know a lot. These are folks who have been in the classroom in front of students, in the trenches, if you will. And I think they bring an incredible amount of insight and knowledge and passion to the work. And I know I've had the privilege of sitting on the Senate conference, or the conference committee last year with Senator Rummel, with Senator Saltzman, and Senator Olson, and I've also had the privilege of working with them on different projects, and with you, Senator Wicker. And so I know that the quality of commitment and knowledge that the Senate brings here is parallel to the House's passion and commitment. It's a real privilege to have worked with you all, Senators, during that period of time. I look forward to our conference committee. Obviously, Senator Dahl, we haven't met yet, but you come from one hell of a good part of the state. I've spent quite a bit of time in Northfield over the decades, and I know that you represent some solid values of commitment to public education. So, you know, the state of Minnesota is pretty well led, I think, Senator, in both houses in terms of our commitment. We are, as you indicated, a little bit pressed for time. This is actually a little bit late for us to be conferencing, in my opinion, this bill. We've got, I think, 10 legislative days left or somewhere in that ballpark in the coming weeks here. And of course, there are some mechanical issues in terms of turning around a bill this big that will eat up days. And so I, the Senator and I have agreed that we will move expeditiously and efficiently. We've actually come up with a plan to do that. We'll see if we're able to stick to it in terms of sort of a 3 or 4 step process here where today, obviously, we're going to go through the bill and do our side-by-sides and hopefully a great opportunity for members on both sides to raise questions, issue concerns, or you know, whatever, make comments. I think our desire is not to prolong every provision in the bill and ask for public testimony on that, because otherwise this process can take us too long. And our hope today, Senator, is to be able to actually start moving our same and similar language. We hope to meet again tomorrow. To be able to move language that gets us sort of in the moderate range of provisions that the Senate has, perhaps that we, the House, doesn't have, and vice versa, talk those through. And then in our third meeting, you know, see if we can arrive at some agreements on some of the bigger, tough issues. We do have some big issues in this bill from both sides, from both houses. And so I'm totally with you in terms of wanting to make sure that we get things done quickly. But I also want to, I mean, this is my 9th term in the legislature. And one of the things I've learned over the years is that sometimes you do unintentionally bad things because you're moving too fast. And so I think we're going to kind of be a little bit in, you know, playing sort of the art here of how do we move quickly and efficiently at the same time that we're not creating some unintentional consequences that then you and I are going to have to try to figure out how to fix next time around, assuming that we get reelected, if people don't hold it against us. But and so all that by way of saying that for me, you know, the most important thing is that absolutely we need to move efficiently and quickly, but I also want to make sure that we are moving good provisions and that we, in fact, are moving provisions that assert the rightful responsibility that we have as senators and House members to set education policy in the state of Minnesota. We share that responsibility with the executive branch, but no single branch has sole responsibility for that. We are elected to do that. We are held accountable, us every 2 years, you guys every 4 years, precisely for that. And we all know that Minnesotans really care very deeply about their public education system. And so I'm all for moving quickly. We will do that. we will be efficient, but I also want to make sure that we come out of here with good legislation, and that we come out of here with legislation that's actually meaningful and reflects the fact that we are asserting our right to set education policy in the state of Minnesota. So with that, Senator, I look forward to our time together over the next few days. It should be fun.
Thank you, Representative Mariani. We'll go first to the side-by-side. It just off the press a couple of hours ago and assembled, copied. I believe there's ample production of that for everyone. We'll go to Article 1. I believe Ms. Larson will go through that. And as I mentioned initially, there will be some items that are deemed identical or very similar that are also non-controversial that we could very well adopt tonight.
Mr. Chairman, members, Section 1 in Article 1.
And Mr. Chair, and I'm sorry, I apologize for interrupting, Mr. Chair. This is going to be an unusual side-by-side. You were probably going to say that, but I'll preempt you a little bit here. You know, typically we have, you know, just the clean language from the House bill and the Senate bill before us, but obviously we're going to be dealing with provisions, policy provisions that come to us through the big finance bill. I forget the number in the Senate and the House side, it was 1812. And it was a decision of both our houses to strip out the good chunks of policy that sat in that bill and send it out to the respective policy committees. And so this side-by-side is going to be a little bit difficult to read because of that. And so I just want to kind of warn all members here that, you know, we're going to have to pay real close attention to differentiate. And sometimes the numbers are going to jump around in kind of a crazy manner. So I just want to give a heads up here for that.
Mr. Chairman, members, in Article 1, Section 1, this is an amendment that came into the bill on the House floor. It requires that during a legislative session, the legislature first pass an education funding bill before it passes other education funding bills. As Representative Mariani pointed out, this is going to be a little bit confusing because we're going to be jumping between bills. So the next section is Section 12 in your side-by-side, which is a little confusing, but that's because it comes from the Omnibus Finance Bill. This one would allow a school board to become part of the partnership for purposes of financing and operating wind energy conversion systems. Section 3 on R2 of your document changes report dates. And I believe that's the same in the Senate.
Mr. Chair,
would you mind sharing that, if Lisa's going to use it, the mic a little bit closer to her when she talks?
Actually, I don't believe the microphones project.
Yes, I'm getting it through here. I'm getting a little assist.
That's a better way.
I think that's the one that's movable, not yours.
I apologize for the poor acoustics.
Mr. Chair, we just identified a same and similar provision, and it's going to be my intent to make motions as we go through here to adopt the same and similar. And I believe we have for the members sort of a cheat sheet so we can follow along on those things. You and I had a discussion about the same and similar, and I think we both have spoken with our conferees, and I think there's a comfort here with us to do that. So I would move adoption of that particular section, and I'm missing the section. And this would be the House provision. Article 1, Section 3.
Okay. And Representative Mariani moves Article 1, Section 3. Procedurally, we would need three votes on each side for it to be included. And keep it in mind that that doesn't mean it's in cement, but for now it would be agreed to. Senator Rummel?
I would second that motion.
Do we have to second
that? We appreciate that, but not needed at this point. Okay, discussion? All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Carried.
Um, Mr. Chairman, members, on R3 of your document, this strikes a requirement to report expenditures to achieve a stipulated pass rate on the House side.
And Mr. Chairman, members, the Senate has the same subdivision included, but the Senate updates the language to reflect the passage rate of the Brad House instead of the MCH.
Mr. Chairman, on R4 of the revisor side-by-side section 4, this pertains to health and safety revenue. It was an amendment adopted on the House floor. It would say that there is a health and safety requirement that includes plans affecting elevators, code violations, elevator safety hazards, those kinds of things. Mr. Chairman, on R5 of your document, this would allow health and safety revenue to be used to replace or repair elevators. This was also part of an amendment adopted on the House floor. Mr. Chairman, on R6, this is section 26, it too pertains to health and safety revenue. It would allow the revenue to be used for basic first aid training, and also to contract for site-specific evaluation and an impact report on the effects of using or installing synthetic turf on an athletic playing field. On R7 and R8 of your document, this too pertains to health and safety. It will require health safety projects to provide a site-specific evaluation and impact report related to the synthetic turf. It defines synthetic turf and from rubber. Mr. Chairman, on R8 and following on to R9, Section 6 changes the date by which the commissioner is supposed to convert or submit unaudited financial data. And I believe these are the same in both.
Ms. Mariani?
Mr. Chair, I would move that section, make sure I get it right, section 6 on R8A1. I'm sorry, I'm moving the House language.
Discussion? All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Carried. Ms. Mariani?
Ms. Larson?
Mr. Chairman, members, on the R9, Section 7 in the House, and actually Section 3 in the Senate, are the same. They strike obsolete language.
Mr. Chair, I would move the House language on R9A1, Section 7.
Now, Representative Mariani's motion. Discussion? All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Mr. Chairman, on the document R9, Section 8 in the House, Section 4 in the Senate, both are the same, and they clarify a cross-reference.
Mr. Chair, I would move Section 8 on R9A1, the House language.
On that motion, discussion? Not. All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Aye. Carried.
Mr. Chair, members, on
R9,
Section 13 of the Senate, is language that was moved from the finance bill. It's on regional transportation services. It's kind of the language allowing three or more districts to enter into an agreement to provide transportation services. On R10, Section 9 of the House and Section 5 is the same. They strike obsolete language.
Mr. Chair, I would move the House language on Section 9 on page R10, A1.
On that motion, discussion? Not. All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Carried.
Mr. Chairman, members, section on R9, Section 10 of the House, Section 6 of the Senate are the same. It changes the notification date.
Mr. Chair, I would then move the House language on R10, A1, Section 10.
On that motion, discussion? Not. All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Mr. Chairman, Section 11 on R10 of the document is a House-only provision. It establishes a formula for determining basic alternative teacher compensation aid for fiscal year 2010 and later. It applies to school districts, intermediate school districts, and charter schools. Mr. Chairman, on R11 of your document, section 13 in the House, there's no corresponding Senate language, but this strikes obsolete language.
Mr. Chairman, there's both section 13 and section 14 of the House language are found in and have been adopted by the working group in for House File 1812.
So we should take it out.
Mr. Chair, I think do we need to proactively make a motion to take this out then, or just leave it, let it sit, and we don't act on it, so. What page is it?
It's very low.
Mr. Chair, members, to just return to section 11 of the House language, these are sections that have been dealt with again in the working group and have been adopted by the Conference Committee on House File 1812, so they can be stricken from the discussion.
Representative Mariani, so moves.
Mr. Chair, I believe it's just that some language set and not act on it, since it's been acted on from the House.
Okay, that's the understanding. Please proceed.
And Mr. Chair, member, given to Article 2, on the Senate side, we have ITOC established as the official court in the state of Utah.
And Mr. Chair?
Representative Mariani.
I'm looking forward to that hockey stick, so the hockey stick and slash shots in the backyard. I think I tried to get you to promise me if you move on this.
You can make that motion right now. Please proceed.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R1 of the Article 2 Reviser Side by Side, Section 1 in the House has to do with allowing a child's parent or guardian to designate an individual to participate in a school conference that involves the child. Section includes a suggested form for this purpose and also defines individual. Mr. Chairman, members, section on R2 of the document, section 2 in both the House and the Senate allows data sharing between the Department of Education and the Minnesota Office of Higher Education.
Mr. Chair, members, section 4 of the Senate file, the superintendent was part of the compulsory instruction age increase, and that's the report for homeschooling children between the ages of 7 and 16. And section 5
for Mr. Chair, members. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Did we just do section 5 on R8?
Yes.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, I would. So we have a same and similar language here. We don't. Okay. Never mind.
Please proceed.
Mr. Chair, members, on R3 of Article 2, Section 3 of the House file, Section 6 of the Senate file, strike obsolete language and update language regarding passing graduation exams. Then, Mr. Chair, members, Section 1 of the House file, Section 7 of the Senate file, on page R4, FIAD, a required academic standard, and have made with that as well as some Senate file language. When you get to R5, there's some updating language that came from the Senate bill.
Mr. Chair, I'm told by staff that we skipped the same and similar. It's my bad. That would be on page R3, section 3.
Okay, Representative Marnie, so moves.
Well, I would move the Senate Senate language on that.
Again, it's similar. Discussion. All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Aye. Carry.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R4, Section 1 in the House pertains to making physical education a subject area for statewide accountability. It anticipates one-half credit of physical education and establishes standards for that instruction.
Mr. Chair, members, there are seven Section 8 of the Senate file allows for a rigorous course of study waiver for
Mr. Chairman, members, on R6 of the document, this is language proposed by the department to clarify that the academic standards should be do apply to all public school students, but there should be appropriate alternative standards for students with IEPs. Mr. Chairman, members, on R8 of your document, Section 5 in the House, it proposes to align timelines for standards and assessments.
We have similar language here?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I believe we have similar language here, so I would move the House language on R8, Section 5.
On that motion, discussion. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Carried.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R9 and R10, this is additional part of the proposal requiring one-half credit of physical education. This would apply to students entering the ninth grade in the 2010-2011 school year. Okay, Mr. Chairman, members, on R10 of your document, Section 6 in the House is a proposal from the department. It strikes language allowing the state to reimburse students for up to six CLEP exam fees. On R11 of your document, Section 3, this also strikes language relating to the fees. They're from the two documents, from the policy bill and the finance bill. On R11, Section 7 in the House includes a report in information evidencing that student achievement in the various required subject areas where there is not a statewide assessment. And the information about student achievement is required to be presented at a local public meeting. This was an amendment adopted on the House floor. Section 8 has to do with gift and talent programs. This was a department proposal. It allows districts to adopt an identification appeals process with respect to identifying gifted and talented students who would be eligible for education programs.
Mr. Chair, if I may interrupt, just to back up, and I apologize, but on R11, Section 7, those locally developed statewide academic standards, I think in part, apply to the arts standards, and so this is something that the arts community brought to the House's attention.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R12 of the document, Section 9 has to do with firearms safety curriculum. This was an amendment adopted on the House floor. It requires school districts to allow secondary students to receive firearms safety instruction and to complete a certification program premised on a program for youth developed by the DNR. Mr. Chairman, members, on R13 through R25, you have all of the language related to the state school report card proposal.
Mr. Chair, that's that comes from a bill sponsored by both Senator Romo and Representative Briner. We obviously spent some time talking about that provision. It's a meeting piece of both bills before us, although I think we have one dimension to that report card that the Senators now have.
It'd be the third provision, the school environment.
School engagement, correct. Right. School engagement provision is in the House side of the Senate.
And Mr. Chair, Member Zhao, we are on R26 of Article 2, and that review is starting with Section 12 of the Senate file, and actually Section 12 and Section 13 of the Senate file deal with student participation in fire drills and other safety drills, and that adds an expectation that students be present and participate in the drills.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R26, Section 10, and on R27, Section 11, pertain to requiring charter schools to display United States flags. On R27, Section 11, distinguishes between charter schools that lease space for public entities and those that lease space for non-public entities. Mr. Chairman, Section 11 in the House and Section 14 in the Senate come from the same proposal related to adopting physical education standards. Mr. Chairman, Section 12 in the House and Section 15 in the Senate on R27 have to do with responsible family life and sexuality education programs. And
Mr. Chair, again, that's a meaty part of both our bills, and I suspect we'll have some interesting discussions about that.
And Mr. Chair, members, on R30 is Section 16, which is information on preteen immunization where schools have to send home information of kids in grade 6, 9, or 12. Section 17 is a provision on environmentally sensitive cleaning and maintenance products, the permissive section. Then Section 18 begins some language that we have on reading programs and reading assessments for and skills for teachers.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R32, Section 13 in the House and Section 19 in the Senate, are the same, and they have to do with serving board members on the Board of Teaching.
Mr. Chair, I believe we have the same language here, so I would move the Senate language on R32, Section 13.
On that motion?
19.
I'm sorry, that's correct. It's Section 19, R32.
R32, Section 19, discussion. On the Marinani motion, all in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, we may need to check my, I do apologize. I think we have one other Senate language debate that we've adopted. I think I referenced on the tape the wrong section for that. That would be the Senate language on R3, Section 6, and I'm pretty sure I said Section 3. And I should have said
it was correct.
Is it correct? Okay. Good. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R33, Section 14 in the House and Section 20 in the Senate address the same circumstance again related to membership on the Board of Teaching. The provisions are very similar.
Mr. Chair, I would move Section 14 of the House language on R33.
On that motion, discussion. All in favor, indicate aye. Whoops.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? we'll retake that. All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R33 of your document, Section 15 addresses the Board of Teaching. It requires the board require that persons who are enrolled in teacher preparation programs receive instruction in historical and cultural competencies related to American Indian tribes and communities.
And Mr. Chair, remember Section 21 of the Senate file directs the Board of Teaching to align teacher prep program requirements to reflect an expectation that all students can successfully complete rigorous academic coursework.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R35 of your documents, Sections 16 and 17 in the House are part of the House proposal related to gifted and talented preparation. These two sections affect the school administrators.
And then, Mr. Chairman, members, Section 22 and 23 and 24 of the Senate file deal with teacher licensure and an assessment of reading instruction.
And Mr. Chairman, members, on R38 of your document, this is another piece of the gifted and talented proposal from the House. It requires teacher candidates to acquire competency in recognizing gifted and talented students. Mr. Chairman, on R38, it's section 2, having to do with probationary period. This was an amendment adopted on the floor. It says that if a school district fails to evaluate a probationary teacher as required under statute, that teacher's probationary contract must be renewed unless the evaluation is completed or budget constraints preclude renewing the teacher. Mr. Chairman, members, on R39, R40, and R41, these are proposals related to staff development programs. The language has changed from what the department initially proposed. Mr. Chairman, members, on R42, this is the last section related to gifted and talented proposal in the House. This has to do with the Administrators Academy and would provide an opportunity for administrators to acquire competency in administering gifted and talented services. Mr. Chairman, members, on R43, Section 23, it's one of three sections related to an amendment adopted on the House floor allowing students in charter schools to participate in the extracurricular activities of their resident district. On R44, there is the second of those three sections related to participating in district extracurricular activities by charter school students. Mr. Chairman, members, on R46, Section 25, this is language saying that a school district that proposes to temporarily close a schoolhouse or to lease a facility to another entity for fewer than 3 years is exempt from certain requirements if a public hearing is held and public comment allowed.
Mr. Chairman and members, Section 25 of the Senate file on R46 deals with transportation service contracts and requirements of what the contracts have to include. And I believe that's in the transportation policy discussion. And then, Mr. Chairman and members, Section 14 of the Senate file is a clarification with PSCO. Section 15 of the Senate file is some updated language or some stuff for the online learning program.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R48, Section 28 in the House pertains to requiring an enrolling district that is a full-time online provider to be subject to reporting requirements and review criteria.
Mr. Chairman, members, Section 16 of the Senate file strikes the language regarding information that's being made available by an online learning provider and has requirements for full-time and supplemental online learning providers. Section 17 of the Senate file often deals with online learning providers and what information that they have to provide to the commissioner or that complies with the commissioner's requirements. And then Section 18 of the Senate file on R51 is an extension of the Online Learning Advisory Council until June 30, 2009. Then Section 29 of the House file and Section 26 of the Senate file are similar, if not the same. The House file extends the Charter School Advisory Council permanently, so it doesn't expire, where the Senate file extends the Charter School Advisory Council to 2011.
Mr. Chair, I would move on R51, the Senate language, Section 26.
On that motion, discussion. All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Mr. Mr. Chairman, members, on R-52 and R-53 of your bill, these next number of sections pertain to charter schools. This particular provision in the House says that the granting or renewing of a charter school by a sponsor cannot be contingent on the charter school being required to contract, lease, or purchase services from the sponsor, and it also prohibits a sponsor from entering into a contract to provide management or financial services for a school that it is authorized to sponsor. Mr. Chairman, members, on R-54, another charter school provision, this allows the commissioner to reduce charter school state aid if the charter school fails to correct a conflict of interest violation in a timely way. It also declares that a violation of these conflict of interest provisions makes a charter school contract voidable at the commissioner's option. It also allows the commissioner to reduce aid.
Mr. Chair, we've got similar language here, and so I would move on the House language, section 31, R-54.
On that motion, discussion? All in favor, Senator Olson. Jim.
Chairman, I was just trying to note the, what was the difference between the House and Senate? I noticed some additional language on page R-55. The Senate had extended for subsequent contracts to five years. What section are we on? I'm sorry. I jumped too far ahead.
We'll be there. Same
right. Issue.
Sorry. That's part of my hearing problem.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R-55.
On that motion, all in favor indicate aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. Chairman, members, on R-55 on the House side, section 32 having to do with charter school contracts makes a largely technical clarification requiring that among the terms and conditions of the contract there be a description of how the board of directors and operators will provide special instruction and services. This was a department proposal.
And Mr. Chairman, members, section 29 of the Senate file that's on page compares language additional words to the House file that allows for renewed charter school contracts to be for up to 5 years instead of the initial ones for just 3 years.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R-56, section 33 in the House and section 7 in the Senate have to do with audit requirements for charter schools in both sections. You have language requiring that the audit report include a management letter.
Mr. Chair, we have similar language here, so I would move the Senate language, which is section 7, on page R-56.
On that motion, discussion. All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Representative Ward?
Mr. Chair, just a question. Didn't we have a similar or same language on formation of school? R-51A.
On what? R-51A. We did
move it. Excuse me, R-52, excuse me, R-52.
Representative Ward, I believe the department has some additional issues to raise on that, and tonight we're trying to address only those items that do not appear to have controversy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R-56, section 34 in the House and section 30 in the Senate are virtually identical. They simply clarify something that's kind of not been well clarified in the past, and that is that a charter school is exempt from all statutes and rules unless a statute and rule or rule is made specifically applicable to the charter school.
And Mr. Chair, we have same language here. I would move the House language on R-56, section 34.
On that motion, discussion. Not, All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Mr. Chairman, members, Section 35 in the House and Section 8 in the Senate were department proposals to clarify that a charter school must meet all federal health and safety requirements that apply to school districts. In addition, there is language adopted on the House floor indicating that a charter school is prohibited from accommodating the practices of any one religious group unless it also accommodates any other religious group that requests an accommodation. Mr. Chairman, members, on R58, Section 36 of the House, this was another amendment on the floor. This amendment strikes town and inserts municipality. It was, I believe, the author intended to clarify what was the intent of this provision to accommodate circumstances where students had few options. This would apply beginning in the 08-09 school year. Mr. Chairman, on R59 of your document, Section 22 in the House and Section 31 in the Senate address a leave to teach in a charter school. These proposals change the timeline for when a district may require that a request for a leave or extension of a leave be submitted. And it would apply in the House in the 08-09 school year and later.
Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate language, Section 31 and page R59.
On that motion, discussion. R59, Section 31 in the Senate. Discussion? Not all in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Mr. Chairman, members, again on R59, Section 37 in the House and Section 32 in the Senate have to do with charter schools. These were proposals from the department. It would preclude a sponsor from taking final action to renew or not renew a contract or to require that the sponsor take an action no later than 15 days before the sponsor either terminates the contract or the end date of the contract. In addition, on the House side, on R60, there's a requirement that both parties seeking to terminate a contract submit to the commissioner their written intent in that regard. There's a direction to the commissioner to determine whether those circumstances can be resolved before the commissioner decides whether to grant a change of sponsor. It also restates some of the terms under which a sponsorial relationship may be terminated.
Mr. Chair and members, Section 9 of the Senate file amends that same section of law, and it actually has the language that's in the House file that the commissioner considering whether charter school and new sponsor have addressed outstanding issues and they're looking to grant a change of sponsor.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R62 of your document pertaining to related party costs in Section 38 of the House and 33 of the Senate, both provisions define terms intended to clarify the prohibition against entering into a lease of real property with related parties.
Mr. Chair, I would move the House language, Section 38 on R62.
On that motion, discussion. All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Tonight, Mr. Chair and members, on R63 and Senate file Section 34, over the tutor pool, like the changing who's eligible for the graduation incentive program, and that thing would be adult in Section 83.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R64, Section 40 in the House, having to do with uses of integration revenue, the House is proposing that school districts, as a condition of receiving revenue, publish specific desegregation or integration goals. identify valid and reliable indicators that would measure their annual progress toward achieving those goals, and to use those indicators, demonstrate to the commissioner the amount of progress that the districts have made in achieving their goals. This would apply in the 08-09 school year and later.
Mr. Chairman and members, item 64, section 35 of the Senate file, the school district's final plan, which measures use their existing integration revenue to implement the district's achievement gap plan.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R64, the House and the Senate both have technology standards proposals. The House is proposing both state as well as district technology standards.
And members, I want to introduce Senator Bonnoff, and she's been very active in the Senate on the technology standards, and just as there will be House members that will join us, and they'll be invited to participate, and we did give introductions, but Senator Bonnoff, if you'd like to give your district. And
thank you. I represent Minnetonka, Plymouth, and Medicine Lake.
And, Mr. Chairman, members, on R66, the Senate file, section 4, the U.S. Field Department is using basic technology infrastructure data, and it gives the rest of what that data is.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R67, Section 12 of the House and Section 10 of the Senate have to do with lease purchase agreements. The House is amending, and the Senate are amending the definitions of district for purposes of lease purchase agreements.
Mr. Chair, I would move the House language, Section 12 on R67.
On that motion, discussion. All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Mr. Chair, I would then move the House language on R68, Section 42.
On that motion, discussion. All in favor, indicate aye.
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 So we can't kick this off next time you and I show up at this 220.
I hope not.
Then moving on, Mr. Chair, members, R69, Section 37 of the Senate file has a limit to the definition of residual truant, which goes along with the increase in appropriate section age. Then section 38, duties of the fire marshal, goes along with the earlier sections that have to do with the expectations that students be present to participate in the fire and the safety as well.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R70, Section 51 in the House, Section 25 in the Senate, Section 54 in the House, and Section 26 and 7 are additional sections that are part of the state school report card proposal.
And Mr. Chair, again, those are provisions from both Senator Rummels and Representative Reiner's bill.
Mr. Chairman, members, on the bottom of R70, Section 57 in the House and Section 27 in the Senate are proposals related to school district plans intended to improve students' academic achievement. It directs that districts experiencing disparities in academic achievement develop a plan to significantly improve students' academic achievement.
Mr. Chair, that's language that comes from both Senator Torres Reyes and my bill on achieving gap issues.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, members, you may notice that on R72, you have the section repeated twice because the language was both in the policy as well as finance bill.
It's like a message. They want us to do it. It's coming from everywhere.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R73 of your document, you have the second part of the proposal related to disparities in academic achievement. Section 58 in the House and Section 28 in the Senate propose to establish an advisory task force to look at specific aspects related to improving students' academic achievement and eliminating differences in academic performance.
And Senator, again, that's from Senator Torres' race and my book.
And Mr. Chairman, members, on 75, you'll see that on the House side, the provision is repeated because it was both in the policy as well as the finance. Mr. Chairman, members, on R78, the House is proposing an advisory task force for integrating secondary and post-secondary academic and career education. Mr. Chairman, members, on R79, Section 52 in the House is another provision related to the state school's report card proposal. And also on R80, Section 53.
Mr. Chair, those are the provisions of the work that both Senator Rummel and Mr. Binder worked on, but the House has the remaining third provision or measure here. Which was removed in the Senate at some point.
Mr. Chair, members, R80, Section 40 of the Senate file, assessment of reading instruction directs the Board of Teaching to work with the Commissioner of Education to adopt an assessment of reading instruction and then report to the legislature. As well as Section 41 is a report to the legislative proposed rules regarding reading licensure in reading instruction.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R81 of your document, Section 47 is the second part of the House proposal on technology standards. This would require the department to report to the legislature on its efforts to add a computer adaptive assessment to the MCAs. Mr. Chairman, members, on R81, Section 46, this relates to No Child Left Behind. It's a direction to the commissioner to immediately petition the federal government to allow Minnesota to receive federal No Child Left Behind funds for state services, but without the restriction imposed by the federal regulations. Also, there's a prohibition against the commissioner enforcing educational assessment and accountability provisions that relate to No Child Left Behind. It allows a school board to file a written resolution with the state auditor recommending how the legislature should reform the educational assessment and accountability provisions. If I'm not mistaken, this was a lame provision on the House floor and passed unanimously. Mr. Chairman, members, Section 48 is on R82 of the bill is another provision from the floor. There's a direction to the Commissioner of Education to nullify and revoke the consolidated state plan that Minnesota submits to the federal government related to implementing No Child Left Behind, and also to void state contracts and agreements entered into under No Child Left Behind if three circumstances are in effect. And also Section 56, we have yet another provision on this very same topic.
Mr. Chair, obviously the House had a lot of time on its hand because we wound up with three provisions here saying no to NCLB in three different ways. And it is a little humorous, but quite frankly, these provisions passed, some of them in committee and on the House floor, with pretty strong bipartisan support. So there's certainly some angst that's being expressed here on both sides of the political aisle in regards to the No Child Left Behind system of assessment and accountability and reporting in the state. So it should make for an interesting discussion as we go forward here.
I agree.
Then, before we move on, Mr. Chair, members, R82, Section 42 of the Senate file exempts the Lakeview School District from consequences for not making adequate yearly progress for the 2008-2009 school year. Mr. Chair, members, then Section 49 of the House file, Section 39 of the Senate file of revival and reenactment of the Charter School Advisory Council. And then Section 43 of the Senate file of repealer, paragraph A repeals Section 128.22.708, which is is a withdrawal from school that's related to the increase in compulsory instruction age. And then paragraph B, repeal of section 121A.23, which is related to responsible family life and sexuality education program.
Mr. Chair, I would move the same language on R82, the Senate language, in section 39.
Okay, on that motion, discussion. All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
I would move the Senate language, section 1, on R183.
On that motion, discussion. All in favor, indicate aye.
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 On that same page, section 2 of the Senate was our center release provision that allowed the licensed physician or licensed psychologist to diagnose attention deficit disorder or attention deficit or SD disorder.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, on R2 of your document, section 2 in the House is part of a proposal related to the Special Education Task Force, and it strikes a reference to a section that the task force proposed be reviewed.
Mr. Chairman, members, section 3 of the House and section 3 of the Senate provides a procedure for which the resident district and the serving district place a child in care and treatment facilities. The language is similar. I think the House probably had a little more time to work on the language there. It was an amendment that came on in policy, so the House language is probably a little cleaner.
Mr. Chair, I would move the House language, section 3 on R283.
On that motion, all in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Aye. And
for the House's efforts in cleaning it up.
Mr. Chair, members, on R4A3, this is the same provision for children without disabilities.
Mr. Chair, I would then move the House language, section 4, on R4A3.
On that motion, discussion. All in favor, indicate aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Members, section 5 of the House and section 5 of the Senate are the same. It releases the cap for which the Department of Education can transfer money to the Department of Human Services for administrative tasks for a database.
Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate language, section 5 on R5A2.
On that motion, discussion. Now, all in favor, indicate aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Mr. Chairman, members, section 6 on R6 and also section 55 have to do with allowing the Department of Education, the Commissioner of Education, to use the expedited rulemaking process with to adopt a specific learning disability rule. And Mr. Chairman, Section 7 in the House and Section 6 in the Senate have repealers related to that task force, but the House also repeals specific sections that the task force proposed for repeal. The Senate does not.
And Article 4, beginning on R1A-4, side-by-side, sections 1, 2, and 3 of both the Senate and the House allow the Braille and Talking Book Library to hold telephone meetings, and those provisions are from the Department, and they are the same.
Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate language on R184, sections 1, 2, and 3.
On that motion, discussion. All in favor, indicate aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Mr. Chair, members, Section 4 of the Senate language on R2A-4 allows libraries that are not participating in the electronic library to be part of the electronic library for Minnesota.
Chair, and member Article 5, Section 39 of the House file and Section 1 of the Senate file establishes a committee on education, on American Indian education programs that would advise the commissioner. And then, as chair members, the
I'm sorry, am I interrupting? Do we have similar language here?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So this would be the Senate language, section one, from on R1A5. And Mr. Charlie made the Senate language. Yeah.
On that motion, discussion. All in favor, indicate aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Chair, members, section one of the House file and section one of the Senate file, unreimbursed costs includes aid to be received by the State Academy to include the unreimbursed costs of structural and behavioral management aid.
Representative Marianne.
Mr. Chair, we originally, of course, have similar language, but we need to have some interpretation with some new information we received from the department, and I believe there will be an amendment that will be offered. So we can have an explanation of that. I'm not sure if that will be the department or Mr. Nauman can offer the information.
Yeah. You have a race to the chair, or ask Mr. Nauman to offer the explanation with the department's blessing. Mr. Nauman.
Mr. Chairman and members, Eric Dahlman with Senate Fiscal. It's my understanding that the original intent from the department was to include in its in the changes on the behavioral management aid reimbursements for the state academies, the language that's being handed out to you now. For some reason, we haven't quite run down yet. It was omitted from the department's policy bill as just an oversight. So Mr. Melcher contacted us this afternoon and said that this should have been included. To the extent that you are about to adopt the unreimbursed language on R1A5, that would be section one of the House, section one of the Senate. This would go with that and would be make the policy consistent.
Questions on testimony the department agrees. I don't believe there's any controversy. Representative Marianne.
So, Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate language in Section 1 on R185. And I'll return to, can I just incorporate the A1 amendment into that? Is that, or should I move the, look at the advice?
We'll incorporate it.
Just incorporate
the A1
there.
Amendment.
So I'll incorporate this A1 amendment into that motion.
Discussion.
Mr. Chair, this just is a small point, but on the Senate language, line 4626 says fiscal year 2007. Ought that to be 2008?
Mr. Chairman, I can help
right.
with that. Originally, we thought that there might have been an oversight here, but Mr. Melcher at the department informs us that that's a retroactive fix to allow the billings that the academies have already been doing, so we do want to maintain 2007 there, otherwise somebody could come back and claim reimbursement for monies that we wanted them to be able to bill back.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Nama, but Representative Brainerd, a perceptive catch. Yeah. Appreciate Argus eye. On that motion, if there be no further discussion, all in favor indicate aye.
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 Carry.
Well, Mr. Chairman, on R2, Section 3 in the House, there is a requirement that information provided to students about immunization requirements also describe exemptions from immunization permitted in statute.
Mr. Chair, members, and on page R3-5, Section 5 of the Senate allows, actually requires the Department of Education to work with Boston College to release data so that TIMS, the upcoming release of that data, will sign that in.
Oh, is it?
It's R2.
and then beginning on R1, it asks that.
Oh, section 3.
Yes, it's on R2.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Maria.
Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if the conference committee can indulge me here on R2, A5, section 3. This provision, which references 135A, 114 of the statute, is actually a provision that should be sitting in the higher ed conference committee. We kind of did it as a favor. This was a bipartisan amendment, and fortunately, we got away without folks giving us a hard time about humaneness on this. But the higher ed committee had already moved, the bill had already moved off the floor. And so, what I've informed all the authors is that this committee was not going to take up higher ed provisions. And so, I think a motion would be in order for us to move section 3 on the House language on R2A5. I know this is unusual, but I mean, to get it on the record that we're moving this over to the higher ed conference committee for them to have this before them for consideration.
On Representative Mariani's motion, discussion. All in favor, indicate aye.
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 We can actually lift it.
Members, I guess if you were to stay on that same page, I'll just mention real quick that the third party reimbursement section 2 of the House and section 2 of the Senate was adopted by the conference committee on health and then
that's
one
for the record.
R1A6, section 1 of the Senate clarifies the definition of full day kindergarten. This is a department recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, members, Section 1 on R1 of your document and also on R2, Section 2 of your document on the House side have to do with provisions related to compulsory attendance under certain circumstances for children under age 7.
Mr. Chairman, members, Section 3 of the Senate file on R1A6 increases the compulsory instruction age to 18, starting the 2011-2012 and year school years.
Mr. Chairman, members, Section 3 on R5 in the House clarifies that the Board of Teaching may grant an applicant to a variance to the requirement that licensed teachers provide ECFE program services. Mr. Chairman, on R5, Section 4 in the House and Section 4 in the Senate have to do with community education reports. They strike language regarding specific components and simply require that there be a report on the program generally.
Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate language, Section 4, on R5A6.
On that motion, discussion. All in favor, indicate aye.
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 Okay.
Mr. Chair and members, on R5A6, Section 5 of the House and Section 5 of the Senate, change the distribution or grants to a single organization. It increases the amount from $100,000 to 25% of the total supplemental services aid in the House and 15% of the total services aid in the Senate. This changes the distribution of how many and who gets the grants. It doesn't change the appropriation.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, on R6 of your document having to do with state total adult basic education aid, there is an amendment to the formula having to do with the average growth in state total contact hours over the previous 10 program years.
And Mr. Chair, members, 7 of the House and Section 6 of the Senate were provisions that were adopted in the Conference Committee on House File 1812.
Mr. Chair, I just want to note for members, I gotta find it here. Back on R5A6, Section 3, that bill, that language is a separate bill. That just moved off the floor of the House today. We took up the Senate file, so we won't be dealing with Section 3. Because that bill is, looks like it's moving forward effectively in both files.
Okay, I want to thank staff for assembling all this. And is it Jason in the advisor's office that has been burning the midnight oil, putting all the side-by-sides together and then the assembly? And for the presentations just now by staff, thank you for being so concise and clear and informative. In one big package. We've adopted 29 provisions. These are ones, again, that are deemed same, similar, non-controversial. There could be some others that fit that category, but this is in the first run this evening what we have accomplished. And as we set the stage for the next meeting, I'd like to yield to Representative Mariani with some thoughts about the next meeting, and then I'll conclude with some additional comments.
Thank you, Senator. Let me just say, first of all, that there are three provisions that are not before us right now that actually were in the House Omnibus Policy Bill as of a couple days ago. We moved those provisions out because we ran into some questions in regards to fiscal notes, and so we needed to route those provisions through our Ways and Means and Finance committees. It is the intent of this chair to bring those issues, as we're allowed to do under both our rules, before us here today. And the particular issues are a small language provision from a Representative Benson bill, which basically directed the department to do an assessment of the myriad reports that it requires school districts, that we require school districts to provide to the department in an effort to suggest a way to streamline those reports. We think there's some built-in efficiencies actually for both our school districts and for the department. We were actually a little amazed that that came with a fiscal note cost, because we think obviously over time that's going to save money. So I do intend to bring that for your deliberation. We also had the provision from Representative Slocum, which members I think is a critically important issue. It has to do with creating a sunsetted three-year alternative way to acquire diplomas, since we're moving toward testing requirements to get there. And this has to do with the grant test, which is sort of our safety net last line in order for students to acquire diplomas. And all the information we're looking at right now is telling us, members, that close to 50% of our 10th graders are not, if everything remains the same, are not going to get a diploma in a couple of years here, because they are not currently tracking proficiency on our math test. And it may well be that we'll be able to remediate all those issues effectively. They'll have 1 year to remediate not being able to be proficient in math. Some of you have been in the classroom, I think, can appreciate the difficulty of remediating math in 1 year at that age. Obviously, the department will have to set a cut score here to try to reflect proper reality. And we don't know whether, frankly, the Slocum approach is the best approach, but we think we need to think about this very seriously. So it is the intent of this author to bring that language over. And then Representative Moe had a bill that he introduced that creates a more defined AYP appeals process for schools. We've heard from a number of schools around the state of some difficulties and confusion over their challenges to being designated as not making AYP. The federal government does, I think, require, certainly allow for an appeals process. It was the belief of the House members that what's currently being used by the department is not clear enough for these schools, and so Representative Moe offered a model based on an approach that's being used in the state of Illinois. Whether you know it's the best approach and whether this conference committee wants to adopt it, we understand that the Senate has not had an opportunity to vet these issues carefully. It is my intent, nonetheless, to bring that issue forward for us to consider and deliberate. And then, Mr. Chair, our intent, and Senator Wigger, you and I have been working very well and closely together to be very effective and efficient here. Our intent tomorrow, then, would be to go over the more difficult issues, but not the most difficult issues before us. And so this would be a look at provisions that exist in one house that don't exist in another house, or provisions that do exist, but where there's some substantive language changes. I know one of them is our technology approaches. And so we want to have a discussion about those dissimilars, and hopefully we'll have an ability to put offers on the table with one another. And I suspect that this will go a little bit slower than it has than today. We may want to have testimony from individuals in the public and in our departments. But again, I would caution us that we don't want to have full-blown hearings on every one of these issues. So I think we're going to have to get a good night's rest and come with our best deliberative thoughts and our knowledge and experience from having served on these committees for the last couple of years as we then look at those dissimilar languages. And I am confident that we can arrive at some good agreements tomorrow on those, and look forward to that fun time together.
Okay. And Representative Mariani, and for the benefit of everyone, we don't quite know yet time frame. I don't know if there's an estimate as to late morning or early afternoon, or if we go back and forth to our respective bodies, and as we have to. We're probably looking at definitely in the evening. And but start time for those of you that have asked, and finally we will announce that as soon as we.
You and I have a good discussion after this, but I suspect we're going to be here and jumping in and out of session. I think we're looking at a long session day on the House floor, and it's just unfortunate that. But that's just the way the you know the process works toward the end here. But we'll work to make sure we get timely notice to you about our starting time. But I would say anticipate being here at the same time that you're on the floor. I don't know what the Senate schedule is, but certainly the House intends at this point to have a long floor session pretty much all day tomorrow.
And then Representative Ward.
So, Representative Mariani, you said that we should get a good night's sleep, so if we don't, can we stay until we do, or can we stay home until we do get a good night's sleep? Or
Representative Ward, we'll find a proxy for you.
Thank you.
And read through the book additionally, and you're very familiar. Many of these provisions are yours, but there's a lot of floor amendments that the Senate will become more aware of as we become educated and as we do that discussion. A number of you with your expertise will be asked to provide additional leadership responsibilities and help be, guide the discussion. We talked about that as well, and we're identifying some of those areas right now. It's after the Thursday meeting, it would be my intent then for us to come back again on Monday. And in the between Thursday and Monday, a great deal of continued exploration of options and
consideration of the various points of view as we seek as much information as we can. It's my intent that we try to reach an agreement that does become law. We obviously have some differences with the department growth model and some other items, but we will do our very best to see if we're able to come together at the end of the day. We pledge our best efforts in that, but we obviously know there's those challenges. We approach that deadline by our leadership of midnight on Monday. So the intent then would be Monday to put the final touches of that bill together, and I would expect we would go right up through the evening on that as we approach that. So any questions by members at this point? Okay. If not, the committee is adjourned.